92. We're creeping closer to the 100.
92, episode 92. Hey, guess what?
Chicken butt.
Correct. Also, I am super excited because I live in York County, Pennsylvania, and we are getting our first Wawa, which means we will have, listen to this, Wawa, Royal Farms, Rofo, Rutters, and Sheetz, all four. All we need is a Buc-ee's, and we're set.
It sounds like you have too many people down there to me. No, thank you. I'll pass. That's right. How have you not had a Wawa? Wawa is my jam. I live in Southeast PA. That's where I grew up. And Wawa never moved to the West that far.
It didn't cross the river. So Wawa's been in Lancaster County for quite a while. I go over to Lancaster County pretty often. So I go to Wawa pretty often. But it has not crept into, it has not crossed the Susky, the big Susky.
Yeah, that's surprising. Wawa was always like the thing before Sheetz for me. And now, like, there's a Wawa coming up into Williamsport, which is only 45 minutes south of me. That's very far north for Wawa. And they're going directly across from a Sheetz. So that'll be interesting.
It's one of my favorite places to go when I head down to the Delmarva area to race.
Yeah, I miss their iced tea and lemonade. That's what I always used to love about Wawa. No, that was Turkey. Maybe that's Turkey Hill. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably Turkey Hill.
Yeah, it's Turkey Hill.
Oh, and we also have Turkey Hill. So we have Turkey Hill, we have Wawa, Royal Farms, Sheetz, and Rutters.
Dang, you have like all the like border wars going on or something.
In one area.
So, I mean, we got to start this show at some point, but I got to ask you real quick, what's the best one in your opinion?
Ooh.
I really like Rutters. I don't have one close, but Rutters does good.
My first gut reaction is to say Rutters, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they have pierogies, they have mini pierogies, and they also have Pennsylvania Dutch pot pie.
I didn't know this. I just know they have a good menu, and the food's actually like not sheet-ish. Like it's good food. The only thing I don't like about Rutters is the sign looks like Butters to me. For the longest time, I thought it said Butters. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Look at the sign. It says Butters. I'm telling you.
Fair. Sure.
The stupid art design is dumb. All right.
Yeah.
So Rutters it is. Well, let's get this show started. We'll hit back.
But I have to say Turkey Hill ice cream is the best, though. And the tea.
Yeah, I mean, Breyers is good.
Ugh. Ew. Ew. That's not even ice cream. It's real. Frozen dairy dessert.
No, it's not.
It's literally not even ice cream. It's not even
Look
ice
at
cream.
The ingredients. There's nothing hidden in there. It's real ice cream. Anyway.
No, it's not real.
Stop. Be the bigger person here. Just stop. Just stop.
Me be the bigger person. Zip it. I literally worked at Turkey Hill at the dairy.
All right. I'm going to start the show, and then I have a couple questions for you because I'm being the bigger person. You ready?
And by bigger, do you mean just like running me over or?
Yeah. Just stop. All right. Listen, we got to go. This show's started. We're 5 minutes.
Let's do it.
Mr. Bob Stewart just set the FKT on the Mason Dixon Trail. And he didn't just run. He flew. Let's talk about all his hallucinations on episode 92.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Okay. All right. So we're good now, right?
We're good. We're rolling along. We're having a good time.
Okay. So it's quiz time for you.
Okay.
Since we're talking about FKT, which we're going to get into in a hot minute here. Mm-hmm. I got some stuff to throw at you. See if you know it. All right, a couple different ones. It's one long snippet, but I'm going to pull a couple things out here. Okay. Who were the first, and I bet you are a guest, Mr. Bob Stewart, might probably know this these answers, but I want to see if Grace knows them. Who are the two people to first set an FKT?
Oh. The first people to set an FKT?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was two fellows.
I don't know the answer to that.
Peter Backwin and Buzz Burrell.
Now, like, what is that based off of? What do you mean?
I'm getting there. All right. When was the first FKT set? When did they set the first FKT?
I don't know.
Then guess. It's okay if you don't know. Give me a answer.
I don't understand the parameters of this.
Give me a year. When do you think the first FKT was set?
I mean, I think the Native Americans did a lot of.
All right, let me back up. I'm gonna
crossing trails.
Apparently, the term FKT was coined in the year 2000.
Okay, that's a lot more helpful than
so
what you started.
When did
with.
These two fellas set the FKT?
In 2000.
No, it doesn't really make any sense. But no, okay. 1998. What trail did they run / hike on to create that first FKT?
I don't know.
I think Bob probably knows every single one of these answers, but I'm going to tell you because you failed this amazingly, beautifully.
The fastest known time is the fastest time.
But it's like organized. Like they started, those two fellas started the FKT.
The Native Americans were very organized. They moved entire towns along
trails. Just listen, because I'm going to ask you this in a couple weeks, and you better know. Peter Backwin and Buzz Burrell set the FKT in 1998 when they attempted the Colorado Trail.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay.
So. Good job. All right, I'm going to bring Bob on right now. I'm curious, Bob, did you know any of them?
So I definitely knew Buzz and Peter. They were sort of like the founders that established the website. They've been very clear that they did not establish the fastest known time. They just sort of established the words that there is a fastest known time. And I thought it was the John Muir Trail. I didn't realize it was the Colorado Trail.
I mean, that's what the internet says. I might have looked at the wrong thing.
No. I mean, it's totally possible. Yeah.
And so you're saying that they didn't even set the fastest time on the Colorado Trail. They just came up with the idea of fastest known time.
Their whole idea is that there could have been somebody faster before them, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they must have finished it, that attempt. It says attempted the Colorado Trail. That's why I'm asking. I wonder if they even.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. I know that Buzz was big on the John Muir Trail, but yeah, I've just listened to he originally had the fastest known podcast, and he used to talk about his early days.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was. I knew there was a fastest known podcast now that Heather Anderson.
Yeah, so before it was purchased by Outside. Yeah, before it was purchased by Outside, it was hosted by Buzz and somebody else.
Nice.
And I listened to probably every episode during my FKT, so subconsciously in there somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I listen to a lot of Heather's books when I'm out there.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it feels like somebody else is also going through like misery and then also the high points and the low points, like with me, you know?
Absolutely. I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah. Someone understands me. I hate this road.
I got a question for you, Bob. What do you think about it if they made not being able to listen to anything part of unsupported FKT?
I'd be totally fine with it. I mean, I didn't really listen to all that much on my last FKT. Sometimes it almost like annoys me to listen to stuff when I like can't find what I want to listen to. And then I just get frustrated and I just sort of zone out. The first day I never listen to anything because I sort of want to save it for when I need it. Mm-hmm. And then I only have like a little tiny, I have like an MP3 player that I like download all of my podcasts through iTunes, and then I put it on the MP3 player, so I don't have to use my phone battery.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That just popped in my head. I'm just curious.
See, and I think some people think of it as a crutch, and I don't. Like, it's just a different experience. Like, when I listen to music, a lot of times it's techno, and I like it's like rave techno, and I feel like it's like I'm running, and it's like a soundtrack, like it's a score, you know. It feels movie like to me. It's the feeling that I like and I enjoy, and it's just a different feeling. And it's the same with books. Like, I just have this different experience and different feeling, but it's not like, oh, I gotta get listen to music to get me through, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably different for everybody, but I could definitely see, I could definitely see it bringing you out of a bad spot. Anything like that. Not that I don't see it as a crutch either. I mean, it's just music.
I typically listen to it at night when it's like everything's dragging on and the miles are getting really long and I just want stuff to be over. And it sort of like helps compress time a little bit for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It is different. It's definitely different for different people. It can be a distraction. It can be all different types of things. I don't know. It just, it's one of those things that can just create a different experience. I like
listen. On my mid-state FKT, I didn't listen to anything the entire 7 days. That was like where I got into it. Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. That's cool. That's amazing.
That was pure torture.
It's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time in your own head. Holy moly.
And I also was like super pure back then. And so I like told my wife, I was like, you cannot text me. There's no communication. Don't let me know how anybody's doing. Don't talk to me about the girls. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you, text you anything, but I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I've since like moved on from that extreme. But so.
Yeah. I've felt weird about it. Like I'll be, you know, you're not supposed to have support on an unsupported, and then I'm messaging people and I'm like, this kind of feels a little bit like support. Even though I know it's totally fine. It just, I've kind of struggled with in my head and tried. I've only done one unsupported, but even self-supported, you know, I feel like, I don't, this feels kind of funky. So I'll try to go like big, long periods of time without talking to people, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you just set a new FKT for the Mason-Dixon Trail, which is 200 miles and goes through three states, Pennsylvania to Maryland to Delaware. And it kind of crisscrosses Pennsylvania and Delaware for a little bit along the Mason-Dixon line and then finishes back up in Pennsylvania. And you took the west to east route. And set the new unsupported FKT. So tell us from the beginning, I want to know why the Mason-Dixon Trail?
So the Mason-Dixon, I was hemming and hawing and really apprehensive about attempting the Mason-Dixon just because there's so many road miles. Mm-hmm. And typically I sort of look forward to road miles, like on the Tuscarora Trail. I think it was like 100 miles and then 20 miles of road and then 100 miles and then 20 miles of road, which is nice because it sort of broke it up. And when I have road miles, I can make up time. And my like secret power is I can just turn my brain off and just cruise. And all of a sudden the 20 miles will be gone. Like, it's really easy for me to just like get through road miles, like monotonous, like mind-numbing terrain. This was totally different. And I knew that it was going to be a totally different than like the other FKTs that I'd done. And I wasn't really looking forward to it. And I actually stopped running a while ago because the roads just like really beat up my body.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't ever run anything more than like 9 miles on roads just because it hurts so bad. Like, I can do 20 miles on the trails, 30 miles on the trails all day long, but 10 on the roads is just brutal. Yeah. But that said, I spoke with you and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing it. And then you shared some people that had done it. And then I saw that Eddie had his time. And Eddie, when I ran Eastern States, Eddie Pantoja, when I ran Eastern States 2 years ago, he came in second. and he ran in 23 hours, I think. I think he was like 20 minutes behind Reagan. And I was just like, that is an incredible finish. Like,
yeah.
If like, that is just like, I was just so impressed. I was like, so that is an awesome, as Eric likes to say, carrot to chase. I was like, if I can use that as my goal, I was like, I can do that. And then I was on a training run for something, or just on a run, and I listened to the Running Mall podcast with Jess about her supported attempt this August. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, done. I was like, it just got super psyched. And I was like, this sounds like a cool trail, a cool experience. And then in hindsight, there's such a great trail community. There's such a great community around the trail. I think that I had more people involved helping me out in this trail than any other previous FKT attempts. Like, usually I'm doing like asking questions and like sort of crowdsourcing Facebook groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, you put me in touch with, you said like, hey, reach out to Rob Bartholomew. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to Rob, and then he hooked me up with, who is it? Peter and Pete McLaughlin and Jake Landon.
Oh, Jake's great. Yeah.
And so then there was like a three-way Facebook conversation where they were just like throwing all this information at me. Like, make sure you do this. Heads up, you're going to see like no trespassing signs on this spot. It's okay.
Yeah.
Watch out for the crazy guy detour. And so it was just a cool experience in hindsight about all the people that sort of came together to help me with it. So
yeah,
that's sort of how I decided in a roundabout way. And I'd only done one FKT this year. I typically like to do two. And this trail is pretty easily accessible for me. I can just hop on the train in Philly out to Harrisburg. And then I took an Uber from Harrisburg to the trail, stayed overnight the night before at the Alec Kennedy shelter, and then just walked the 2 miles to the trailhead in the morning.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a trail that has, like, just like you said, a really cool community around it. It's got some history with the attempts. Eddie is phenomenal. Back in, was it 2020 or 2021? He did 4, I believe. He wanted to do an FKT on the Mason-Dixon Trail within every season.
I cannot believe that. I'm like,
yeah.
I did it once, and I'm like, I'm good for like 10 years on that
trail. Yeah, he did spring, summer, winter, and fall, and one of those was unsupported. I believe the other, I know a couple of them were supported or self-supported, but only one of them was unsupported. And he was trying to get, there's folklore around why Eddie hasn't posted this yet. So us who are close to the Mason-Dixon Trail, we know that Eddie has not officially submitted his time to fastest known time, but it has been recorded, it has been shared, and so everybody considers his effort to be the fastest known time. That's been the time to beat. And there's lore. I've heard different stories from different people and from him about why he never submitted his time. And one of those is because he wasn't going to submit it until he got underneath 50 hours, which he said that he thought he could do. And then, you know, restrictions lifted and races came back, and then he went back to racing. And I don't think he's done an attempt of the Mason-Dixon since then. He kind of, I think after that is when he placed second at Eastern States. So it's got some lore around it and a pretty cool community. And I don't know, it was just awesome to see you go after it. Jake and I were messaging back and forth and watching your tracker the whole time. Cause I'm like, Jake, how far is he now? Cause Jake knows that trail so well. So it was a lot of fun for those of us who, of course, you did this unsupported, so we could not come out there and cheer you on, but you did share your tracker. So it was a lot of fun for us in the background to kind of send messages back and forth to each other.
That's cool. Yeah. I always wish that I could like see the people that are following my tracker at one time. I don't know if I can, but just like get weird, I don't know, support from that, I guess. But.
Mm-hmm. It was so pretty.
What was the good, bad, and the ugly about it? Like, get into the actual adventure.
So the good was the first day was pretty cruisy. I mean, it's like the first 11 miles are all road. Then you sort of dip into the state game lands and do some really smooth miles. And then you're in Gifford Pinchot State Park, pop out onto more roads, and then you just sort of go down towards the Susquehanna River. That's about mile 40. And I was making pretty good time. I averaged 15 and a half minute miles to mile 40, where you get off the main roads and you sort of get onto a dirt road. And that's the beginning of like, so what is it? 130. It's about like the beginning of a 90 mile section that goes down. I think it's 90 miles on the Susquehanna, where you're basically like on the river, then you come back up to the plateau, then you come back down to the river, then you come up on the plateau, and you're sort of zigzagging. Mm-hmm. So I was making good time. My legs were definitely feeling a little different than like a normal FKT hike. I assume they're shin splints. I've never had them before, but like my shins were getting hammered pretty good from just like pounding on the pavement. Because I was trying to make basically bank as much time as I could in that first 40 miles, because I knew it's all road and pretty cruisy. Yeah. So I averaged like 15 and a half minute miles. My goal was to average like 17 minute miles for the day. So I sort of banked a little bit there. But then coming in, so that was mile 40, around mile 60 or so, I started getting a blister under my left foot. And that is really not common. Like, I typically don't have any feet problems until like day 3 or 4. And so feeling that blister, like it's a very specific feeling. I've only had it a few times. I got it once on the final day of my mid-state FKT. I got it once on like mile 95 of Eastern States 100, where I like refused to stop and pop it. And I just kept powering through it. And it almost feels like there's like a needle like stabbing into my foot, and I can feel like the fluid spinning around. So I eventually realized that I had to stop. So I stopped where I was, somewhere like right next to the river, sat down, pulled out my first aid kit, pulled out a needle, and I just like jabbed the giant blister and squeezed it all out. It was kind of funny because I had realized that I'd taken out my my lighter out of my first aid kit, because I don't like make a fire when I'm on an FKT. And so I was like, oh no, I can't like sterilize the needle. And then I was like, well, I'm jabbing this into a blister that I'm going to now expose for 140 miles. Does it really matter at this point?
Yeah.
So I immediately just was like, all right, moving on. So I just taped it up. That was totally fine for the rest of the attempt. But both of my big toes also were getting super bruised. I don't think I kicked anything. I don't really know why they were like so black and blue and so bruised. Again, it usually happens like towards the end of an FKT attempt. I usually lose my big nail on my left foot, but this was like 60 miles in is very abnormal. And I was wearing the same shoes, same socks, same everything on my feet as the Pennsylvania Appalachian Trail. And I had no foot problems whatsoever on that trail. So I don't know if it was the road or like what the deal was, but my toes were like in agony. And of course, after about 50 miles or so, you start ducking into the woods, going back and forth. And yeah. I was kicking all sorts of like branches and twigs and stuff that were on the ground. So started getting foot problems at the end of the first day around mile 50 or 60. And then around mile 65 is when, Grace, I don't know if you remember this, but this is like, you go past a house, and there's a bunch of like no trespassing signs, and all of a sudden the house like lights up and there's like voices saying like, you're being recorded.
Oh yeah. 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 That's within that's in the four bitches section. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like freaking out. It was like, I don't know, probably 4 o'clock in the morning. And so it's on a road. So I just cruised past, climbed up the mountain, and then I got up onto the trail, and it was like,
oh, I know what you're talking about. That's the you're talking about the spot you come off the road, you cross the bridge,
Fishing Creek. You go over Fishing Creek and you're on Fishing
Creek.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the very beginning of the what some people call Stegosaurus. and also called the Four Bitches, and there's another name. But yeah, there's a bunch of signs, but you are okay to go through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, the point of that is, like, once I get up there, it is super exposed and really intense. And it was like mile 65. It was probably four o'clock in the morning or something. And it just drops off like 30 feet on both sides. And I'm like wobbly, like sort of hallucinating. Like I was just, it was almost the most intense terrain I've ever been on an FKT at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Like it was like long trail level stuff, which is kind of, I was expecting like trail in the woods and some intense stuff. Mm-hmm. This was like really.
And it's wild because it's not a tall climb. I mean, you're only climbing up like 400 feet or something like that, but you get to the top of it and you're like, how am I rock scrambling right now?
Exactly. And I'm like sort of like route finding and I'm like, how am I going to get over these rocks? So it was just kind of wild. I was not expecting it. And that really frazzled me at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was planning on going straight through the first night into the next day, not sleeping the first night, and then going till like sunset the next day and then sleeping a little bit. But I was like, by the time I got through that, I was averaging like 30 minute miles for 4 miles or 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And I got to a spot that was just flat and I decided to lie down for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So I got 45-ish minutes of sleep there.
Yeah, that section, that whole area from there until you get through Apollo Park.
Yep.
We call that the Four Bitches. And it's so hard. It's only 9 miles and it's so hard to move fast. Because between the rock scrambles and even your descents are ridiculously rocky and steep.
And so it was super steep and it was all leaves. So I was essentially just like sliding down the mountain and then hoping not to like crash into anything. Yeah. It's pretty intense. So yeah, that was unexpected. But I still felt good after that. Yeah. So that was sort of like day one, day two, cruise a little bit more, went through Otter Creek, which was beautiful. McCall's Ferry, I think it's called, which is absolutely beautiful. Like lots of conifers, really pretty. And it's kind of weird. For some reason, this trail, it's more of a blur for me than most other previous FKTs. And I'm not really sure why. It's difficult. I think it's because you switch back and forth from like beautiful, like gully, like hollows. And then all of a sudden you're up on farmland and then you're down in a hollow again. It's like super disjointed how you're sort of like, so there's, it's not like sections. It's like little tiny, like 3 mile pieces here and there.
Yeah. And then you're next to a Wendy's or something like so like you're in the middle of nowhere in a hemlock garden. And then, you know, an hour later you're at a gas station. It's
it's pretty wild.
It is a very wild trail.
Yeah. So made it through day two, was feeling okay. My legs were really beat up and I was having pain on the back of my left knee that there's some like tendon back there that I could like squeeze it and massage it. And I could feel that I was messed up, but I don't know. My previous FKTs have said, if you keep going, it'll eventually go away. So I just kept going. And finally got to the end of the first night the end of the second day. And at that point I decided I need to figure out how I'm going to get across the bridge. What is it? The Pulaski Highway down in Havre de Grace.
Yep. Yep.
So I was like, I'm about 30 miles. So I popped out after Muddy Creek again was incredibly beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a rhododendron, like beautiful gorgeousness in June.
Yeah. It was amazing with like cascades and swimming holes. And I was like, there's some pretty incredible like hidden gems that I'd never really knew existed in all those hollows, which is again, part of the reason why I hiked that trail is because I sort of knew those things existed, but I wanted to check them out for myself.
Yeah. It's wild.
So approaching 4:30 on the next day, I gave Rob a call cause he said, give me a ring and I'll coordinate with you and then I can give you a ride over the bridge.
Yep.
Because this is one of the few unsupported FKTs where you're legally or like within the rules allowed to get a ride over the bridge.
Yep.
Because there's no pedestrians are legally allowed on the bridge. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Basically there's a spot that you hop on into a car, they drive you like a mile, and then there's a spot, like an accepted spot where you hop out and then just go on your way.
Yeah. And it's, if you've, once you see the bridge, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't want to walk on that thing.
Oh my God.
Because I, it's, oh.
I was like, maybe I can like sneak across, you know, and you know, I always like to do things within the rules and regulations, but I was like, maybe if it's like the middle of the night, I can sneak across. And I like Google Street Viewed it. And I was like, mm-hmm. No way. That is terrifying. There's no room like to get across.
Yeah, and it's so long too. It's not like it's would be a real quick run across it. Like it's long enough that you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. That is completely unsafe.
Yeah, like the Tuscarora Trail had one super sketchy bridge crossing over the Potomac, I think. And it's like legally you can walk across. And I just sort of like ran at us like at an opening and I was just like screaming and I'm like, don't hit me. But this one, that's not an option at all.
Yeah.
So I called Rob and I was like doing the math and trying to figure out. And I spoke with him and I'm like, I think there's a lot of roads. I think I can average like seven. I averaged 18 miles yesterday. I think I can do like 17 or 18 tonight. If I don't sleep, I get there at like I did the math, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I have part of the reason everybody always asks me, like, why do you do unsupported? And part of the reason is like I have this weird like almost guilt of asking people for help when it's like when I'm inconveniencing them.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he's like, I live 10 minutes away. I can give you a ride. So I'm like, that's fine. You know, that's a very kind thing for him to do. I'd be happy to get you the ride. But then all of a sudden it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh, I feel like he's got to come out on Sunday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so he's like, listen, not a big deal. I'll come get you. And
yeah.
So then as I'm making my way, my knee is like not allowing me to run at all. So I'm like closer to 20, 21 minute miles, time slowing down. I'm pushing myself way harder than I would normally, like if I didn't have to meet these like time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got to get there because I don't want him to like have to meet me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a 30 minute nap at, I don't know, it was like 8 o'clock. And so I just lied down on the ground, took a 30 minute nap, woke up and did not feel refreshed at all, but just tried to push through it. And I went another probably 2 hours, like 6 or 7 miles. And I finally texted him. I'm like, hey, Rob, I was like, I'm not going to make it tonight.
Mm.
I was like, I need to lie down. I need to sleep for at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so I was like, we'll just reconnect in the morning. Please don't wait up for me. I was like, it might be 4 o'clock in the morning. And he texted me back and he said, time doesn't matter. Let me know and I will be there.
Yeah. And that I knew Rob would say that. Like I think he's happy to help anybody on something like this. You know, that's his home turf.
Seriously. And so it was just so incredibly kind. And I was like, thank you. I'll keep you updated. I'll let you know. So decided, took an hour and a half nap, felt a lot better, cruised through the night, made my way down, and got down to Havre de Grace. And once I got down there, I was feeling great, but I had a really, really optimistic A goal of like 2 days, 12 hours, 2 days, like 20 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to have those really optimistic goals to really push myself like out of the gate. And then I can like make up time at the end. But I was like so far behind and I had to drop my girls off at school the next day. And so I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to finish in time. So I called my wife and I'm like, hey, I'm coming through Havre de Grace. I was like, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm just going to hop in an Uber and I'll come home. And she was like, dude, like, just keep going. Like, are you serious? Let me call my parents. They'll watch the girls. You'll be totally fine. And she's like, by the way, you sound way too coherent. She's like, this is how you sound on like after not sleeping the entire night. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not like, you know, delirious and like stumbling around. Like there's some coherency going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just see kind of like crazy things in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she's like then coordinating with her parents, trying to get the girls coverage. So I'm like still cruising through and I'm like, I got nothing else to do, so I'll keep walking. So I come out, I pop out in some suburban street and I'm texting Rob and I'm like, hey Rob, I made it to Ave Grace. It's like 6:30 or 7 in the morning and I'm just going to catch an Uber. So I'm good. I hit send and I look up and this guy is like looking at me and I'm looking at him and he's a like morning jogger on like, you know, Tuesday at 7 a.m. And he's like, Bob Stewart? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, Rob, he's like, my car is 2.8 miles down the trail. He's like, how long do you think it'll take you to get there? And I was like, 3 hours. He's like, all right, I'm going to finish my run. I'll come back, catch up to you. He's like, I'll meet you at the corner. We'll hop in the car and go over the bridge. And I was just like, okay, done. And so he like must have followed. He obviously like got my tracker from Eddie and then he like saw where I was and intercepted me. I was like, this is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So then cruised over the bridge. We chatted for a minute and he was just like, all right. He's like, go get him. You got this. His wife was there too, Kathy. She was like,
Kathy's awesome.
They were so amazing. I was just like, I want to stay and just hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to keep going, but someday we'll come back and
we'll get to hang out. Kathy's great. And I think one of the hard things is once you cross that bridge, so you cross the Susquehanna River, which is close to where the Susquehanna like officially dumps into the bay. Once you cross that bridge, you kind of know most of your trail running is done and you're going to be doing a lot of road running after that. And I think there is more, I think back when I did it, it was a little more traily. And there've been some sections down there that got diverted back over to road, since I did it. So I think it's even worse now. And there's some very nice sections of trail down there. That are absolutely beautiful and they're nice little treasures to find when you do come upon them. But I think mentally it's hard when you cross that bridge because you know, like, oh, I got a lot of flat road ahead of me.
Seriously. And that's like, especially when you go down Perry Point, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That's just all road, super exposed. So just more road miles. It was just kind of torturous, pounding away. You hop in the woods for a little bit and then, but once I got to, Elk Neck State Park.
Yeah.
Phil Perkins, who has the self-supported, FKT, it is 2 days, 17 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That time is bonkers. Like that's super fast, self-supported. I read his trip report and he said that like somebody took a leaf blower and like blew off all the leaves in the state forest. And it was the case when I was running through. It was like super cruisy, like wasn't tripping over stuff. It was so, so nice after those road miles coming through Northeast where I wanted to just like give up. I was like, this is agony running on the road. And like, you're also like diving off as cars are like coming at you and you have to like navigate intersections where there aren't crosswalks. So it's like a totally different angle for FKTs that I'm not used to.
Yeah. I had forgotten about that section until you brought it up. But hitting Elk Neck is a nice area. I forget who the trail maintainer is in that area. When I was doing my FKT, he was actually out there doing trail work. So it was kind of neat. Got to thank him while he was out there. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, the trail's amazing. There's like no blowdown. Yeah. It's like perfect condition.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I was like, once I get within 40 miles, I'll like be able to just compartmentalize this and get within the finish. So I like stumbled to mile 36 from the finish. And I was definitely like seeing things and like having trouble coordinating and keeping my eyes open. But got to past, and it's always funny, like the random stuff that you experience in these FKTs, like you sort of duck into like a FedEx distribution center and you're like walking down the back. And I'm like, this is like the least shady thing I've ever done in my life, where I'm just like sneaking behind like some, like a row of hedges. And I'm like,
have you done the Conestoga?
No, I haven't.
There's a section just like that in the Conestoga. It's up far north, and you're literally like, the trail goes into this warehouse's parking lot. So you're supposed to go into their parking lot. It's real similar to that section. And then you see a blaze on the curb, and it, like, they park their trucks there, and then there's a blaze, and then you go over to the left, and then you dip down into the woods there. It's these Southern Pennsylvania trails are pretty bizarre.
And that was sort of my out. Like, if a security guard came over, I'd be like, I'm just following that blue mark on that pole right there. You'd be like, sure.
Sure you are, buddy.
Yeah. So I popped out on some power lines. And of course, this is the shady stuff. So I went through the FedEx thing, and then I pop out on these power lines, and I'm cruising through there. And all of a sudden I see a guy, like, no headlamp, just a black hoodie on, just like coming at me. And I'm like, you know, and it's so funny how numb you are to like whatever is going, you're about to encounter. And you're just like, so you just like pass in the night. And you're just like, hey, how's it going? You're like, you don't want to know why he's out there, and he doesn't want to know why you're out there.
So I remember going through, now, of course, mine was supported and yours was unsupported. So you did not get to partake in any gas station food. But I remember going into a gas station. It was me and Jake and Eddie, and it was like 2:30 a.m. It was like right when all the bars closed.
Yeah.
And we went into this Wawa. And so we're just these like dirty trail people. And then there's all these guys, like they just got out of the bar, or they just got out of work or something. It was just this weird mix of people. And, and I'm like, well, we're all just coming together and getting snacks.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what, like when I was running through the suburban neighborhoods, it had to be like, I just had to be like, what is this guy doing with like cables bouncing everywhere? And I got my headlamp on, and my like blades orange.
Yeah.
I got my backpack. It's always interesting.
And then you get to Delaware, where there are these beautiful mansions, and you're this like grubby trail hippie, you know, going through, and just huge homes. It's a little almost anachronistic. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I slept 36 miles. I set my alarm for 50 minutes. I got the most incredible sleep, like super deep, perfect sleep. Woke up 5 minutes before my alarm went off, and I was like, oh, damn, I just slept for 5 hours. And then I looked at my watch and I was like, wait, no, I only slept for 45 minutes. My alarm didn't even go off. So I hopped up, got going. Cruised out of the woods into some suburban neighborhood. And then, I felt really, really great with 36 miles to go. Just knocked out a bunch of miles, around, I don't know, maybe. So I started at 10 PM and I was like, I have 15 hours to do 36 miles. I've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. I can do this.
Yeah.
So I started cruising. At one point I was super tired at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just like lied down on the ground in the dirt. Set my alarm for 6 minutes, slept for 6 minutes, alarm went off, got up, kept moving. There's a couple really nice benches in White Clay Creek.
Yeah.
And I lie down on the bench for like, I set my alarm for 90 seconds and I'd lie down for 90 seconds and then I'd get up and keep moving. So finally made my way through that. It was really weird because you're in this suburban world, and then all of a sudden you get to White Clay Creek and it feels really remote.
Yeah.
And it's like really, like, it's hard to describe. You feel like alone, and it was very, I don't know. Just alone.
It's beautiful. I loved White Clay Creek. I was like, how is this so pretty? And I've never been here before. And
I'm absolutely going to go back and hike that in the day, because that was all nighttime and I couldn't really see anything. But I started getting my second wind and I started running a good portion of that, because it's like, very buffed out, super cruisy. And so I was just like running as much as I could, because I knew that like I had to run a bit to get the, and also wanted to get as much distance on the record as possible. So eventually popped out, and what it was funny, you mentioned like the really nice, mansion houses.
Yeah.
So it was like sunrise and I was like mildly delirious. And I was like looking at one of those beautiful, like huge lawns that come down off the mansions. And I was like, that is such a weird place to put a giant mouse sculpture. Like, why would they put like a mouse eating a piece of cheese on that lawn? Like, rich people are so strange.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that is definitely just like a bunch of bushes with like a fence around it.
Uh-huh.
And my brain just thought it was a mouse eating a giant sculpture.
Like, yeah. Like, oh, that's not real. That's why. It's not crazy rich people. It is my brain.
And so that's what that, and people always ask me like, what sort of stuff do you like hallucinate about or see? And it's like, you make up these things in your brain and that you see. And, so that was it. And then, just boring, ran, hobbled, crawled the last 5-10 miles. And then got to the end and, Phil Perkins, the self-supported FKT guy, he was waiting for me at the finish, which was really cool. And he like cheered me on the last 100 miles as I like crested the hill and came down.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. We had a conversation that I could not remember much of. I'm not even sure what I said. I like my short-term memory was completely shot. I was like, did I just say that or did I think that?
It's a cool finish. I like that. That last section is real cruisy and you can kind of, I remember a hill, just flying down it with Jake, and then you cross the railroad tracks and then all of a sudden you're done.
Yeah. It was kind of funny though, because like, if you look at the GPX track, it's not a straight shot down the hill. And I'm like such a nerd that it like, the GPX track like follows the tree line around the edge.
And you go across and then you go down. I did that.
I was like, it's a straight line. And so I was like, whatever. So I ran like around the bushes.
I did the same thing. Yeah. And I had Jake with me, and Jake like he knows where, and I had Eddie at the time too. And the two of them knew exactly where the trail was. So I was like, they know how particular I am.
Was Jake with Jess?
Yes. Yep. Jake was with Jess too. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I was looking at her GPX track as my like navigation on my phone.
Yeah.
And I could see, I was like, Jake must have said like, no, the trail's this way. Cause there was that was a really challenging thing, is that there's a lot of blazes, but there's like some places where there's just no blazes.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like going through a park and all of a sudden you'll see her track sort of like veer off to the left. You'd be like, how did she know that the trail like went to the left and then crossed over the road? And then I realized that Jake was sort of guiding her on those ones.
He was with her, I think about the same amount of time as with me. He was with me for 60 miles. Nice. Yeah. The back 60. Yeah.
So does everybody are you allowed to do this trail the opposite direction or not?
Eddie has done it. Yeah. I think a couple of his were the opposite direction. Doing it the direction that the both of us did it, the direction that Jess did it, it is a net downhill because you're going toward the bet. Like it's technically an east-west trail or a west-east trail, but you're also like kind of
right
going down.
Makes sense. So that's what everybody should choose, I guess, that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, from my conversations with him, he really enjoys the other direction. Also, if you go west to east, which is what we both did, you kind of get the hard stuff out of the way in the beginning. I like to do the hard stuff in the beginning when I'm in better shape, and then do the easy peasy stuff at the end. So that's more of a preference thing. But
gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been done.
You beat Eddie's time by roughly 3 hours, right?
Yeah, I think just about 3 hours.
What was did you have a goal of what you were hoping for? And will you tell us what that is or not?
Yeah, well, so I think I mentioned I had a really aggressive A goal. And I told my wife, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something because Eddie's time was 77 hours. I was like, my A goal feels like it's way too aggressive because I was hoping that I could average 17 minute miles for the entire trail and then add like 2 hours of sleep, 2.5 hours of sleep. And so I think that's something like 2 days, 15 hours. And in hindsight, like so my knee definitely slowed me down a bit from running, but like in hindsight, that middle 90 mile section, I think I was a little cocky too, because I was like, oh, I've done, you know, trails with 1,000 foot elevation gain and loss. Like mid state mm-hmm. trail has tons of 1,000 foot up, 1,000 foot down.
Yeah.
The Ben Mackay trail has like 3,000 foot up, 3,000 foot down. And I was like, you know, I could do 400 all day long, mm-hmm. but it just like the little ups, little downs, you're going up to the plateau, you're coming down the plateau, and then navigating definitely slowed me down a little bit. Just cause you're always checking to make sure that you're on the trail, because like a lot of the turns on the roads aren't blazed. So you're just like pulling out your phone to make sure you're on the right track. So A goal was like two days, 15 hours. B goal was sub 3 days. And then C goal was 77 hours.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's a sneaky, that section is sneaky. There's a Rob hosts, the Mason Dixon shortest day, which is coming up soon. That's going to be just a couple of weeks. That'll be the 15th, I believe. Yeah, Sunday the 15th is Mason Dixon's shortest day. He's a fat ass. And that's from Shanks Mare down to Coal Cabin Park, I believe. And also Mason Dixon longest day, which is on the longest day of the year. And then the two Equinox runs, they're all fat ass events. But they all use that section, that the four bitches section. And it's just, it's sneaky hard. You don't realize how much elevation you're getting within 35 miles. You're getting I want to say it's like 7,000 feet of gain. And you just don't think that you're going to get that in Southern Pennsylvania, because we don't have 1,000 foot climbs. They don't exist down here. But it's sneaky hard. It's dumb. So, okay. You talked a little bit about hallucinations. What about food? Cause you took everything with you.
Yeah. So, food is I'm pretty dialed in at this point. I just take the same stuff over and over. Breakfast is ramen. So I got my peanut butter jar that everything goes in, which is disgusting. But so ramen goes in that, water goes in that, I drink it. So everything, like I brought some potato chips, pickled potato chips, goes in the peanut butter jar with water, I drink it. Chewy Chips Ahoy, and mint chocolate chip or mint Oreos. What else? The giant 800 calorie honey bun. I think you mentioned that on a podcast, mm-hmm. and I like was at Acme, and I'm like, oh, I was like, I gotta grab one of those because it's like 130 calories per ounce. So I got one. Yeah. I got a honey bun for two mornings, and then I do dehydrated meals for dinner. And then the rest is just maltodextrin. So nice. About 2,200 calories of food, 2,200 calories of maltodextrin. And the malto is broken down into 5 individual bags.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of spread those out, mile like 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
Nice. And you did, I should have mentioned this earlier, you did prior to this a really cool little like, I don't know, it was like a Q&A and a presentation with Keystone Trails Association. And Keystone Trails Association, they do a lot throughout all of Pennsylvania, and they kind of like also help divert funds to all these other trail groups. And they have some cool webinars and things like that. And you did a little lesson about fastest known times, and you went into detail about some of those things, how you pack, how you eat and all that. And it was great. I tuned in. I got some ideas for myself, so I was pretty excited about that. We'll have to put some links up so that people can check that out after the fact, because you can learn a lot, I think, about nutrition and how dialed in you are about exactly what works for you and how much you need every day. And just the fact that you're not really making decisions. I really like that. Like you're trying to take decision-making out of the process as much as possible. I think that's smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's Yeah. First of all, that little seminar was a lot of fun. I was like trying to decide how far into the weeds I should get. I was like, cause I can go deep. I could talk about like my shoelaces and all sorts of crazy stuff, but
yeah. Show everybody the pack that you made and all that. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a perfect example of like the efficiency that I like really focus on and think about like every waking moment is like little spots for my stuff. And like my little, I like have a trash bag underneath, but yeah, I mean, it's all about like you said, like removing the decisions. And so that's why I sort of like make my plans ahead of time of how far I'm going to go, like what distances I want to, like my goals that I want to achieve. And then like keeping the GPX track on my watch. So like I had waypoints at every single turn, which is like on a typical trail, there's usually, I don't know, I think on the Pennsylvania Appalachian Trail, I had under 100 waypoints. On this trail, I had like 260 waypoints of like left at this intersection, right at this intersection. So I don't even have to think when I reach an intersection, it just like tells me which way to go. Mm-hmm. And that's again like another super helpful time saver.
Mm-hmm. But is that it, Grace, you got nothing else, Grace?
Oh, I got tons more questions, but I want to make sure
get yours. No, I don't really have any questions. He's Bob. You're definitely becoming Mr. Unsupported PA FKT. I mean, you're conquering the state one stupid long trail at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're out there.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I wasn't sure I wasn't sure how the Mason-Dixon fit in, because it's not one of the state forest trails. So there's a few of the trails that you've done are like among the official list of state forest trails.
Yep.
So I didn't know if you were trying to accomplish all of those at one point, which the Mason-Dixon is not one of them. The Mid-State is one of them. Is the Tuscarora one of them?
It is. So
I thought so.
Yeah. So that was like how I got into this in the beginning, was I was trying to hike all 18 of the state forest trails.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was like, how am I going to hike a 327-mile trail? I was like, I can't do that. I can't take off like 3 weeks of work. And then from there, I saw, to like my origin story, was I saw a YouTube video of John Zaharian. And it just like blew my mind that this guy was like hiking 50 plus miles a day. And I was like, oh, well, I'm pretty good with endurance. I could just hike the Mid-State Trail doing like 40 miles a day, 30 miles a day. Mm-hmm. And then it'll only take me 7 days. How hard can it be?
Of course.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, things evolve.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a slow, weird progression like anything else. Where like the way that I did it on the Mid-State is drastically different than the way I do things now.
Interesting.
So what's the next progression where you had... If you're okay with talking about it, where you're headed next, or what's something else that's coming up on your calendar?
So the next one is going to be the Bent McKay Trail down in North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia. I attempted that one last spring, but I had to bail because my ankles swelled really bad. Mm. And that's actually one thing I forgot to mention is my left. This is another random physical thing, but when I went to bed or when I slept for 40 minutes the last night, my left leg like swelled really, like my calf swelled tremendously. So I don't know if there's some like weird lymphatic thing going on or I did some research, saw some stuff, but anyway, my right ankle swelled on that trail, and that was just definitely like a tendon injury. So I had to bail on the trail. And then I decided I am going back because now it's got history and a connection. I've got 180 miles through that one, so I gotta bang out the last 120 miles.
Yeah, you do.
Right. Yeah. But
Grace, we gotta wrap it up.
Okay. So, Bob, what are your plans this weekend? What do you got?
So this weekend I am picking out a Christmas tree with my girls.
Nice.
Yeah. We have a tradition. We go to up near, I think it's Pottstown. Pick out a tree, chop it down, bring it home.
Do you chop it yourself or do you just pick one out?
So I think the last 2 years he sawed it down, but this, I'm sorry, the 2 years before he sawed it down, this past year we decided to pick one on like the bargain bin, but
yeah,
the girls think, my little girls still thought, they're like, Dad, still chopped it down. So
that's great. Oh, that's a great tradition.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your huge accomplishment. The Mason-Dixon is, of course, a trail close to my heart. I absolutely love it. And really cool to see you go out there and be Eddie's time. Maybe it will lure him out again. I hope. We'll see. I know there's some other folks who've had their eye on the Mason-Dixon. I think there's still some guys looking at it for the supported to try to take Phil's FKT. We'll see. And I don't know. We'll keep looking for cool adventures out there. So congratulations.
For sure. Yeah. And thank you for, you sort of motivated me to get out there with our chats. That was pretty cool. So.
Well, you might have motivated me a little bit too, sir. I'm headed out to the, not for an FKT, but just for fun with Laura. We're headed out to the Standing Stone Trail this weekend.
Nice. Wow, look at you.
So I was looking around at different trails to do, and Laura and I are going to spend a couple days out there. We got a little Airbnb for the nighttime, so we're not going to freeze to death. We're going to be bougie and cozy, but do some long miles. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Love that trail. It's a good one.
Yeah. I have done surprisingly little of it. I've probably only done maybe 10 miles total of the Standing Stone. So it's just cool to watch other people do other stuff and get ideas and be like, let me head over there. You know, I think I pulled somebody's GPX file. I think it was Jordan's. I think I pulled his. But it seems pretty well blazed. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, it's super well blazed, well maintained.
Yeah. The Standing Stone Trail Association, something like that. They seem to do kind of similar to the Mason-Dixon. They have a pretty big group of people who maintain that thing.
Yeah. I actually just this week got an email. My end-to-end patch is coming, so I get to sew another hat.
Nice. I gotta figure out what to do with my patches. I've got a couple of them. I was just looking at them the other day. I have some pretty great patches that I gotta do something with. I don't know. Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
I am hunting probably on Saturday and then hopefully running somewhere on Sunday, either maybe Frozen Snot or Rothrock State Forest. I'm not sure.
You went to Boston already, right? How was Boston?
Boston was good. Yeah, that was Saturday. We drove up Friday. Lauren ran Saturday, and we drove home Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh.
So we did, let's just call it 14 hours of driving for an 18-minute race.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally normal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
No, it was a good experience. Oh, my gosh. She was happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, but that's it for me.
Sweet.
Yep. So, Bob, thanks again for being on. This is your third time. I can't wait for your fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh time because I'm sure they're going to come pretty fast here because you're doing the big stuff and you're fine-tuning it and getting better every time. But we appreciate your stories and hopefully you motivate others to get out there and do this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Always a blast.
Absolutely. Grace, what are we doing next week? Is next week the Secret Santa?
No, not yet, but it's coming up soon. Gifts are going around. I got something in the mail today and I haven't opened it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's my Secret Santa stuff. So I'm going to wait until we have our episode. We have Secret Santa gifts going around. We have lots of fun episodes. We're going to have our end of the year best of. We got to do some best of awards. We also put out a challenge last year. We put out Running Mullet Bingo. So I want to see if anybody's finished their bingo card. I believe Chris Young has.
I believe he's the only one that posted that he finished it. Yeah.
The only one who's posted, but let's see if we have some other people who finished up their Running Mullet Bingo. Yeah. So we've got some fun stuff. I think to just wrap up the end of this year, it's going to be good. And we have, if you're looking for gifts, we have socks and we also have these really great hats that we just got. So look at that. Isn't that fun?
Come
so
on, you can reach out to me. Buy one for your grandmom. Buy one for your uncle's niece's divorced nephew. I don't care. Just buy one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do it.
All right. Well, I guess that's it then, right? I will probably see everybody next Monday at 7:30.
Next Monday at 7:30. Every Monday at 7:30, we get back together. We talk about running and we learn things and we're having a good time.
What did you learn today about FKTs, Grace?
I learned that the first one, according to you, was in 1998.
I'll take that. Look at you. You make me happy.
I'm learning. You make me happy, Eric.
Oh, how sweet. Look at us go.
We're just a happy crew. We're having a good time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday. And like and subscribe and share with all your friends. And I'm going to shut down the old group soon. And We're transferring to a Facebook page instead of a Facebook group because it's a whole lot easier to manage. So just go with it.
You better move your butt over because you're going to get shut down.
That's right.
And without us, you really have no purpose to even continue doing what you're doing. So move over. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So move over and we'll see you next Monday. If you don't move over, you aren't going to be able to see us.
That's right.
All right. Have a good night. Thanks again, Bob. We will see you next time.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, everybody. Bye.